Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit. Bandwidth for All About Android is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of All About Android is brought to you by Gazelle, the online marketplace for buying and selling used gadgets. Shop from a variety of certified pre-owned electronics or trade one in for cash. Give a new life to a used device. Visit Gazelle.com today. And by CuriosityStream, a subscription streaming service that offers over 1,400 documentaries and nonfiction series from the world's best filmmakers. Get unlimited access starting at just $2.99 a month. And for our audience, the first 2 months are completely free if you sign up at curiositystream.com/twit and use the offer code TWIT. Welcome to another episode of All About Android. This is episode 264, recorded on Tuesday, May 3rd, 2016. We are your weekly source for the latest news, hardware, and apps for the Android faithful. I'm Jason Owl.
I'm Ron Richards.
And I'm Florence. I am in a cave.
Yeah, in a podcasting cave, the best kind of cave there is.
It's a lonely cave, actually.
It's
a white, droll white cave. What are you going to do?
Yeah, I know, and the door is closed. Did the last people that were in that podcast room eat lunch in there? Because you probably got a little bit of that lunch smell.
Actually, it's now a storage facility on the other side of this table. There's just like chairs stacked up.
Oh, glorious. Well, at least there's no lingering food smell. It's good to have you guys back, even though you're virtual. Next week, we'll get you in the studio.
Sorry, Jason. I think maybe. Yep.
It's okay. We've got backup here. First of all, joining us for the entire show is, I'm just super thrilled to welcome to the show for the first time, Yasmin Evgen. You might know Yasmin from the Material Podcast. How's it going?
Hey, everyone.
It's great to have you here. Relay.fm/material. Tell us a little bit about the show you guys are doing. You're doing this with Andy and Otko and, of course, other names that we're very familiar with on this show.
Yeah, so I have a Google and Android podcast on Relay FM, and it is with Andy Inako and Russell Ivanovich. Andy, of course, you've known him for so many podcasts that he does, even on the Twit Network. So it's really fun to have him on there. And then Russell Ivanovich is the developer over at Shifty Jelly, which does Pocket Casts, which all Android fans are usually familiar with. So it's a pretty fun show. We've had some people from Google come up and be interviewed, like Matthias Duarte, which was a huge, huge win for me. So I was pretty stoked about that girl. I did some fangirling over that. It was pretty exciting. But we had some other interviews with people from Google, like the Google Nearby team when they launched their products. So it's fun. Yeah. So the whole premise of Material is to kind of trying to get more topic-based discussion around Google and Android. Because, you know, there's already so many good shows like All About Android that does the daily news stuff.
Yeah, I love it. And good get on Matthias. I was a little bit jealous on that one. Although when I first met Matthias at Google I.O. a couple of years ago, like I shook his hand and I couldn't come up with anything brilliant to ask him. So I was like, I'm really a fan of what you've done in Android. And he gave me that look of like, why are you even talking to me right now?
Well, that's kind of how when I met you, that's exactly what I did. So I had that experience. it was a treat to have him. So
real excellent. Fun. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Yasmin, and welcoming back to the show, at least for a little bit here, Scott Croyle, design and product at NextBit. How's it going, Scott?
It's going great. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. It's our pleasure to get you back. You guys have had a pretty tremendous last couple of months, I would say.
Yeah, we're shipping, which is great. Thought I would never get here, but yeah. It's been a wild ride.
Fantastic. We're going to talk all about that. And a whole lot more, actually. We've got some news to check out first. We're going to be discussing Google's new hardware division that we're hearing little bits and pieces about right now. Saying goodbye to an old Nexus friend, as well as saying hello to a few new ones, supposedly. The yet-to-be-released Google Trips app. I actually have it on here, so I'll show it off. Checking in, of course, on NextBit, all the cool things that are happening with NextBit and the Robin, and a whole lot more. Before we get to the news, real quick, platform numbers are out. We don't have to spend a lot of time on this, but Marshmallow is now up to a whopping 7.5%, up from 4.6% in April. So that's a decent increase. Any other wise tidbits on platform numbers at this point that you guys got?
Crickets. No. Froyo hanging in at 0.1%.
Again. Yes.
So I will say that Robin just got 6.0.1, and we've had 75% of people actually take that update. So we're pretty,
of course.
So we're pretty excited
who
about it.
Who wouldn't? Especially the audience. I have to imagine the audience that Nextbit Robin attracts is definitely an audience that is going to take
it.
Yeah, and they're going to know what it's all about and all that kind of stuff. Excellent. All right, so it's going up. Froyo still holding on for dear life for whatever reason. Maybe someday we'll actually see that drop off the list. Brian, I hope you're ready. It's time for some news.
I'm just about ready as I'll ever be, because if there's anything more exciting than distribution updates, it's Android news.
Just a little bit more exciting.
I feel like that one was on the fly, wasn't it?
Oh, very.
I'm going to roll with it.
By the seat of my pants, Ron.
That's when Brian performs best, is
how I flourish. Pants.
Well, you know what I'm excited about, y'all?
What?
Our first news item of the day.
Okay.
Thanks, Brian.
Sorry.
You guys heard last week that Rick Ostrello has a new job.
I know.
The former president of Motorola now has a new job at Google Campus, running its new hardware division. Is that not really exciting?
He just couldn't stay away, could he?
He just couldn't stay away. I mean, I imagine he was like, ready to just get back into the saddle right after Motorola. So just has more things to do. His job is not complete.
Now, Flo, you were on Ostrello watch after he left Motorola. Are you invigorated now that he's joined Google to run the hardware division? Or
I am very invigorated. So he's not only running the Nexus program, he's also going to be running the Chromebooks. He's going to be running the Google Living Room products that are coming out. He is going to be running OnHub. Well, I guess OnHub. Does that count as a living room?
Well, or
is that
it its might. Own
thing?
I don't know if it officially does, but room, so. Yeah, right.
Yeah, I guess that's happening when it's happening. He's also going to be running Chromecast and ATAP, which we know just lost their head recently, Regina Dugan, to Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
So this will be an interesting change of things. Also, Hiroshi Lockheimer will now focus primarily on software and platform development, which is sort of what I kind of assumed that just when I heard this news, because I know there wasn't any immediate news on what Hiroshi would be doing when this was announced. Nest CEO Tony Fadell, he ran Glass after it exited Google X last year, but now he's over at Nest, which is under the Alphabet umbrella, and Ostrello will be taking over what's going on with Google Glass. So that means that we still have a little bit more to hear from this little device that goes on your face.
Mm-hmm. So, Yasmin, I'm curious to know kind of what, like, because Google hasn't necessarily had an official hardware division yet. What do you think this is setting up here? What is Rick going to be? I mean, is he just managing all of these efforts, or what do you think?
Yeah, so you know, when they acquired Motorola, I was really, really excited because I was like, oh no, like finally Google is going to have that hardware division. It's going to be amazing. And then they sold them out. And I was like really bummed because I was a huge fan of the Moto X. And it was actually like the first phone that got me off the Nexus phones, because I figured like, hey, I'm still going to get the updates that are, you know, like the Nexus program, but they have some really, really fun features with the hardware. So I was really excited, and of course, when they left, really bummed out. So I'm excited to see what happens. I really, really hope that they actually start building a lot of their hardware in-house, and they have like a more cohesive experience across all their hardware products.
Scott, are you an Ostrello fan? Are you happy to see him return home?
I've never met him, but I think it's a good move for them. I think if the rumors are true about them doing a phone, which I think is it's a much bigger effort than a lot of the other products that they're talking about. You know, like the stuff at home or the Chromebooks. It's a much bigger effort in terms of a marketing perspective. I think it's going to help them be focused on it and actually really drive something forward. So I think, you know, if they're really going to do a phone, I think it's a big move.
Interesting. This sounds like development of hardware outside of kind of the efforts that we're so used to hearing about, I'm very curious to see. To me, it felt like homecoming for Rick because, you know, he shined while he was at Google.
He started at Google with Motorola. Then he went over to Lenovo when Lenovo acquired Motorola. Then they had their whole restructuring and they were like, by, and now he's back at Google. Well, if I'm not mistaken, I think he actually lives in the South Bay, so it makes sense to get a local job.
Yeah.
So one other thing actually that's kind of interesting about that is I think, or at least the question to ask is, how the Nexus program transitions. Because, you know, traditionally they would partner with OEMs. Like when I was at HTC, we did the tablet, or obviously did the Nexus One when I was there. And so I think that's going to be interesting to see if that relationship changes with the ODM or OEMs, or whether they become a, you know, they're going to work with an ODM going forward. So
I'm curious to watch that happen. Yeah. That's the big question. I mean, as we've seen the Pixel C come out, which is, you know, a Google product, it's not an OEM kind of, you know, situation. Are they going to do, like, are they going to do hardware proper, or are they going to continue the model that they've been doing? That's, I feel like that's what we've been asking, you know, for years now. And I feel
it's going to be answered pretty soon now that he's there.
That's a really good point, Scott. I didn't even think about that when I was writing the news piece about Osterloh going over to Google. It was like, are they going to just stop going with companies and using them as kind of the front-facing, like, marketing tool for the Nexus devices? Are they finally, is Google going to feel, or maybe not feel, but is Google going to go out and just be like, hey, we're on our own. That's it. Like,
but, or maybe they do both.
Yeah. And, well, the thing is, they've been flirting with it for years, right? I mean, like Motorola was, they got a little closer, but then they sold it off, like Yasmin mentioned. And you know, with the Pixel C, got a little closer, but not, haven't done anything else. I'll be curious to see what they say at I.O., whether or not, you know, part of this, you know, announcing Osterloh coming on before I.O. and making a big deal about the hardware stuff at I.O. will actually, you know, kind of show what the plan is.
They've also been converging the industrial design with the OEMs over the years, so they've gotten a little bit closer as a family. So to me, it feels like a logical step, because there's been enough rumoring about it. Now that you have Osterloh there, it just seems, well, let's see what happens.
Right.
I think they'd have to be very careful on how they maneuver with that, though, right? Because they're really pushing their marketing of, like, be together, not the same. And so they don't want to turn into, hey, here's the one phone for you. They want to kind of have Android on various hardware to run. So, I would be excited, because that means that they get to control the hardware and software experience, which just means it's going to be a better phone. But, you know, it is kind of fun, like with the Nexus 6P, kind of introduced us to Huawei, and they're like, oh, wow, I really like their hardware. So it'll be definitely interesting to see what gets announced at I/O.
And the only other comment I have on it is that, and Scott, you could probably address this better than I could, but isn't manufacturing devices really hard?
Well, so they're not going to be making devices. They'll work with an ODM.
Yeah. But the whole chain, the whole supply chain, and doing everything, you know, like, I mean, that's a whole effort that, you know, like I said, they flirted with, but actually committing to, I think, is harder than we might think. That's all. So,
yeah, I agree.
They hired a dude who has plenty of history doing all that, right?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So you're right. I mean, I think the operation side, just dealing with Ford and reverse logistics, all that, I mean, super complicated. Yeah. And actually, it's not that hard. It's just it requires a lot of attention from people. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see if they're building that side up, too, not just the engineering side, which obviously I think Osterloh's. Right. That's his background.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think a great example of this is, I mean, it's not phones, but look at all the trouble that Facebook is having with Oculus.
Right.
I mean, I don't know if you're keeping an eye on it, but it's a shipping nightmare. They're going to retail before Kickstarter backers and before pre-orders ship.
Yeah, and we had similar, just to be honest, like with Nextbit, we had similar problems where it just took us a long time to kind of get Kickstarter orders delivered. And it's like, it's mundane stuff, like trying to get order information out of Kickstarter and Backer Kit, which is how you take post, like you add in accessories afterwards, and how to get those into our 3PL, which is the people that actually pick, pack, and ship. Mm. And it's not that hard, right? It's just a simple spreadsheet, but you get in there and like something gets coughed out as you try to import it in. Now you're importing, you know, 10,000 line items one by one. And so, you know, these like little things on the operational side can make or break. And I think that's what you're seeing with Facebook. And they're a big company, right? How are they having problems? But, the scale of their problem is obviously much bigger than what Nexbit had. But having been through it, yeah, you can see it.
For sure.
You can see it happening.
Excellent. Well, Ron, take it.
Well, yes, we'll be curious to see what they're going to announce hardware related at I.O. But we are all so anxious to go for I.O. And Yasmin, Scott, are you guys going to I.O.?
We'll be there.
Yes. I'll be
mean okay. DevChella?
So if you need a guide.
DevChella.
if you need a guide to Google I.O. as Florence is so excited for the musical festival aspect of it.
I got my flower crown ordered already.
We've seen the layout. A lot of our question was, how's it going to work at the Shoreline Amphitheater? We've seen the layout is now posted, thanks to My Maps and Google Maps, of course. And
yay.
You can see how the physical structure of I.O. is going to take shape in and around the Shoreline Amphitheater. And after reviewing this, all I have to say is wear comfortable shoes and bring sunscreen.
Look
because
at
when
it.
when you're standing in a parking lot for 3 days straight, you're going to get a sunburn.
Look at it. They got the whole lawn. We're going to hang out over there and have a little picnic up in the lawn. Then we're going to walk down and we're going to watch a little developer session on like VR. And then we're going to go across the street over there to, I don't know, whatever that yellow place is. I'm just pretending what this all is. And then we're just going to go and hear about Project Tango. And then we're going to go down south.
When I go to Florence, shows like this, I always wonder where to go get drinks afterwards. Where do you go for drinks in the south?
At Google I.O. this year than there has ever been.
You think there's going to be like liquor stands sprinkled throughout like there are at festivals and stuff?
Oh, liquor stands.
Well, you'll go in, you'll prove that you're 21, you'll get a wristband.
Yeah, everybody's going to have to get a wristband. You have to wear the wristband for all 3 days. If you lose it, that's it.
It's going to be the best I.O. ever.
Yeah.
Payment with it?
Yes.
Oh, I love that. I'm on board. Oh, taking it a step further. I love that.
So this is how it breaks down. It breaks down into they've converted the parking lot into 10 stages with 13 demo zones, 4 code lab areas. And basically, you know, it's a huge compound that's going to exist. And as much as I respect Florence's enthusiasm for it, this looks like a nightmare.
How do you code lab in like 80 degree muggy Mountain View weather? That's what
I don't know.
A parking lot. Not even how do you code lab? How do you get a consistent Wi-Fi signal?
Hopefully Google has that figured out at least. Yeah.
How many people are attending this and how many people are going to have 9 devices on them, their phone, their laptop, their tablet, etc. Not to mention all the presenters and all that sort of stuff. It's a nightmare.
Yeah.
So. Do you think they're going to have tents though? I mean, it's in the parking lot, but do you think that maybe they're going to be like bigger tents in there? So it's going to be, air conditioned.
It's so hot in May and muggy and like there's roaches and mosquitoes everywhere.
Well, I'm leaving Phoenix, Arizona, where it's going to be like 100 degrees. So I was like, oh, are we going to get 90s? That's going to be nice.
Oh, jeez.
So, Ron, your theory has been all along that Google just somehow laxed on getting, you know, the space in San Francisco as it does every year. And this was like a scrambled last-minute attempt to find something that works. After seeing this map, I might actually agree with you.
Thank you.
I suppose so. That's not the only one that it's really great for.
You bike over. You get one of those cool rainbow-colored bicycles, and
you get the 10-person bicycle to get from the amphitheater across the highway to the parking lot. But Jason, I don't want to misrepresent. I don't think Google might have laxed. I just know that booking Moscone is a nightmare, and that sometimes there are events that are booked there 5 years in advance, and that they couldn't get the dates wanted. The doctor conventions and, you know, the annual radiologist gala, who knows. Yeah. But if that's true and they said, okay, let's do the Shoreline in our backyard and say, okay, this is how do you replicate the multiple rooms a convention center like the Moscone Center gives you? You put up tents in a parking lot.
Yep.
Great solution.
They
pay paradise and you put up tents in a parking lot.
There's going to be parking lots for Android, the self-driving Google car.
That's how we're getting across the freeway, Ron.
That's what I
they have cars for everybody.
Self-driving Google cars for everyone.
Yeah, but you have to do 6 at a time.
I like it. Either that or you hop on the back of a Boston Dynamics robot. I realize that's not going to happen. I keep holding out hope, but that's just not
that scene from Silicon Valley last weekend. Dynamics robot.
No.
Sorry.
Apparently I need to watch Silicon Valley now. I'm far behind. I love it.
Funny. He ends up getting a anyway. You watch it.
Oh, speaking of Silicon Valley, they used one of my tweets in their marketing.
Really?
Yes. I tweeted it earlier today. I posted it. They sent out an email to all HBO Now users about the new season, and they showed 3 random tweets, and one of them was mine.
Nice.
Dang. Ron made it. Hey, guys. Ron made it big.
Yeah. First it was George Takei.
Now I'm a tool of HBO.
Now you're a tool of HBO. So you're checking the boxes,
picking
Ron.
Up those yep. followers.
No, that's
picking up those followers left and right.
I don't know if it makes me an influencer or what. But
for listen. Sure.
Hey, so click on the link, Brian. Click right
there.
Right
there it is.
All right, let's see this.
So this is an email that went out to all HBO Now.
Right at the top. Silicon yep, Valley premiere was great, mainly because Tobolowsky is delightful.
Where are those other people?
This season is going to be good, says Ron Richards at RonXO on Twitter. And a couple of other people.
Ron, you made it. I'm so proud of you.
We're so proud of you. We knew you could do it.
Listen, all I know is that this is a foot in the door at HBO, and this time next year, I'll have my own show.
You might be on Silicon Valley at this rate.
Don't leave us. That makes me sad.
All right. Let's talk with us. Let's transition away from HBO and towards the next bit, Robin. Scott is here with some interesting pieces of hardware, I have to say.
Yeah.
Those headphones look pretty fantastic.
We got some headphones. We got a special colorway.
Excellent. Okay, so first things first. Last time you were on, the Nextbit Robin had not launched.
That's right.
And you were, it was highly anticipated. It was months ahead of delivery. Now it's launched. How have things been for you guys? I have to imagine it's been a crazy couple of months.
It's been a crazy couple of months. I mean, first of all, I think it's great to just get it out there and start getting feedback on, hey, this sucks, or this is great. Love this. Can you do this? Can you do that? And so that's super great. And I think number one. Number two is, like, our fans, they were super patient as we kind of went through kind of like the troubles of actually trying to just get stuff out the door, as I was mentioning earlier. So we just wanted to kind of get through all that. So now we can get to the point where, like, oh, you buy a phone, we ship a phone. Mm-hmm. Pretty straightforward, you know? And so we're there. We're on Amazon now, which is pretty exciting. People can do research on there. You know, for the average consumer, it's super great to kind of get some feedback there. And, so it's been great.
Excellent. Hard lessons learned. I have to imagine there's been at least one or two hard
lessons learned.
Yeah.
You know, I was just talking about this earlier today. I mentioned it a little bit earlier. So getting the information out of Kickstarter and BackerKit, you think that this thing, we should probably test that and how that's going to import in. And we literally tested it, like, as we're like, okay, let's ship to customers.
All right, we're ready. Let's go.
Like a week would go by and you're like, how many did we ship? And like 100. And you're like, what are you talking about? You know, like, this would just go on and on and on. And it was just a super manual process that we had to kind of climb out from underneath. And so it just takes time. I think that was the hardest thing is, like, you know what? Make sure that you're kind of all ready to go as as you actually start having phones. Because we literally had thousands of phones sitting there and we just could not ship them out. And then we kind of had silly stuff like, you know, like the accessories we get shipped out, but not the phone. And then, but we wouldn't communicate it to people. So they'd get a tracking number. Oh, great. My Robin's coming. And they'd open up the box and, like, where's my Robin? And so, you know, I think on the logistical side, we definitely had some hard lessons learned there.
But you were able to pull it off. And, Ron is a daily owner and user of the Nextbit Robin.
He's only dropped it once. Your phone.
I've only dropped it once. But I love it. It's great. It's
survived the fall.
It survived the fall, luckily. But, it's been my daily phone for, what, like 2-3 weeks now? And it's been, I'm even still using.
Did you get the latest software update?
I think so. Yeah, no, I got it as soon as it could. I think a big testament is that I'm still even using the Nextbit launcher. I haven't moved over to the Google launcher yet. So it's clearly working for me. So.
Awesome. Well, we're excited about the new software out there.
So tell us a little bit about that.
Well, now I can send you a taco, and I can flip you off the middle finger in text messages, which is super great because we get
important.
The latest
poop
update.
Emoji, I imagine,
exactly.
In tow.
Exactly.
Okay. All right. So that's the important one for this show.
That's the important
We've had full
one.
Segments on the poop emoji, but anyway.
This is really important, actually. And then obviously the security updates and then bug fixes on our part. But we also enhanced the audio, so people see kind of a big improvement there. And I think the biggest thing where we focused on was improving the camera. When we launched the camera, the images that the phone took, they're good. We got an 81 DxO score. However, the shutter speed, but the time from when you actually hit the UI button and we actually captured a photo was long. Like
I find
long.
That's a pretty common thing. Like I play with a lot of devices and I feel like that's one very kind of recurring theme in a lot of cameras. And it can be frustrating.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you hit the button, you're like, I thought I captured it. And then you notice, like, by the time you get the image, it's terrible. And so we spend a lot of time kind of focusing on that. And Robin users have it and it's a great improvement.
And I've actually tested it last week that you can see on greenbot.com.
That's right.
Sorry, Jason. I had to jump in there.
Do what you got to do, Flo. I had the link in there because I knew you were going to do that.
Oh, wait, that's the review.
Never mind.
Flowception. Flowception.
Look the other way. Look the other way. Okay, so you also announced a partnership with, how do you say this? I.
That's exactly how you say it.
Yeah. Okay, so, that was a total guess.
So III is a Danish headphone company out of Danish land.
Okay. the Danish view. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. Anyway, they've been around for 10 years. And back when I was a partner at One & Company, one of the companies that always ended up on image boards as inspiration was III. And so I've always loved their design. Didn't know the guys. But when we started working on Rob and we kind of had that on track, I started thinking about, you know, people are going to come to our website and want to buy headphones or headsets that are going to work with the phone. I'm like, well, we don't have the expertise to pull that off. We should try to go partner with somebody. So I immediately thought of, hey, III. And what I loved about them was I love the simplicity in design. I love the execution, though. Even though it's like a black set of headphones and very, very serious, they're very, very purposeful. They're very, very good headphones. And the design, it actually has a lot of character, even though it seems very, very simple. So for me, like from a design perspective, there's a lot in common with the industrial design of Robin.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, I reached out to them like, hey, can we sell your headphones on our website? You know, maybe we just take some earbuds and like, you know what, we have these new headphones we're doing called the TMA2s, which basically allow people to customize their headphones.
Oh.
So it actually felt natural with just in terms of like being an Android fan, mm-hmm. and kind of like that idea that people can go in and kind of choose what they want. They're like, why don't you do kind of a next bit curated version of their headphones and then sell that on your website? And so we curated, basically you can choose from the headband to the ear cups, whether they're over the ear, on ear, the speaker driver, and the cable. And so we did a custom cable to go along with that, but then the rest is kind of our configuration. You can buy it on our website, $225 US, and we're excited about it.
These are like you want to shut out the world type headphones.
These are shut out the world, yes. Yeah. These are over the ear.
You should try them on. Jason,
they're awesome.
Don't you guys have a pair of them? They're very comfy.
We have
I them
right
myself.
Here.
Very cushy.
Here's where I turn into Princess Leia.
Exactly.
But they are very cozy and nice. I'm a big fan of really nice over-the-ear headphones, so these feel
Jason looks
good.
So nice in headphones.
Look at that. He's selling it.
Sorry.
Oh, so by the way, when we did the audio tuning,
yeah,
obviously we got to use these headphones, so they're really...
Excellent. So, you also have in here DJ collaborations. What's that all about?
Yeah, so one of the things that was kind of cool that they bring is, so they have all these relationships with DJs, because when they design their headphones, they start with this, hey, let's design the headphones for DJs.
Oh, okay.
So it's not a professional tool. They're sold, they're reasonably priced between $200 and $300. But they're curated and developed with DJs. So what they did was they hooked us up with two of their DJs. One is this woman out of Liverpool. Her name is Lauren Losung. She's a house DJ during the summertime. She has a residency in Ibiza. Mm-hmm. And so she did a ringtone. And you can download it in our community forums. And it'll be kind of loaded on our next software update as a ROM update. And then the other DJ we worked with is a San Francisco-based DJ. His name is Giraffage.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a little bit more well-known than Lauren. And it's super great. I mean, it's super fun to kind of work with people. Because as a brief, like I work with creators all the time. And as a brief, we're just like, you know what? I don't know, do a ringtone. We have these two kind of products which kind of revel in the simplicity of design. But obviously, we're coming to you because we want you to bring your flavor. And then, by the way, on a ringtone, don't do a slow build. It needs to be loud for a second from the very start.
Don't do the breakdown.
Exactly.
Do the everything comes in
exactly.
And the club goes screaming.
So that was the briefing for the DJ. So, yeah, we're excited. We're
nice.
Excited about that. That's been fun.
Very cool. And very unexpected. I really like the kind of the color coordination,
the
too, because that's obviously
exactly.
what really ties it into
exactly.
The next bit. So, and then you mentioned the new update, obviously rolling out to folks right now.
Yep, that went out last week. We got 75% uptake, so
excellent. What was were there any challenges in kind of moving over with the Marshmallow update?
Well, we were already on Marshmallow,
but
so actually it was just the .1
right.
update. So no, I think for us it was about trying to push it out as fast as possible, and then we had some other bug fixes and the audio updates that we wanted to do. So it's really just about bundling that up and getting out as fast as possible.
Nice. And you mentioned Amazon. I did notice that there's a kind of a sale going on.
We do. So Amazon is having a sale on Amazon.com, surprisingly enough.
What? Wait a minute. Blew my mind.
It goes on sale tonight for $299 US, and it'll be for a week.
Nice. Excellent.
So, yeah. And that's going on sale midnight Pacific time.
All right. Cool.
I think I'm going to have to jump on that because my mom's always like, hey, my phone, I need more memory. It's running out. So I think Robin would fix that.
$299 US. It's all yours. You have a week to make a decision.
Yeah.
your mom is installing apps like crazy, right, Yasmin?
Exactly, exactly.
It's photos.
Oh, yeah, no, you're right. It is photos.
It's photos and videos, yeah. And we don't support videos yet, but that's coming. That'll come out this summertime. No exact date yet, but we're already working on it, so we'll do video support soon on that, on Robin.
So true. And if you've got an improved camera, then, of course, people are going to take more photos. And
you've got
4K, require...
you're shooting 4K video, which means you're generating a lot of content.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Mm-hmm. Tell us about kind of a ROM support. You had a little bit of news,
yeah.
I think it was a little while back, about Cyanogen. And...
Well, so Cyanogen said they were going to do it, but it actually just got released. We haven't actually loaded on it. So we have CM13 now. So Steve Kondike... he actually did the ROM port himself, so we're super excited about getting out and trying that out. There's also Android Ice Cold Project just released their ROM recently, so AICP. We're super excited about now that those two are out. We're just kind of hoping there are more, but we're super excited about those two kind of coming out. And I think, you know, just with the warranty that we offer, so that even if you brick your phone while you're loading one of these ROMs on, you're still covered under warranty.
It's not going to break the
warranty. Yeah, I think it's just something that is part of Android. It's been there since the very beginning, both for me, Tom, and Mike. And the whole team at Nextbit, we're super excited about kind of supporting that as much as we can.
Right on. Big picture. I think of Nextbit as a brand right now, based on the Robin, I think of a company that looks at challenges that we currently have in the smartphone world and kind of offering solutions. For example, obviously the Robin offloads, files into the cloud kind of dynamically, so it kind of alleviates this I just ran out of storage on my device problem. Are you willing to kind of talk a little bit about what other problems you might be working on?
Well, you know, we've been kind of public about talking about storage being a problem, the setup of the phone being a problem, all the things that you think the cloud could help you on. I think there's some obvious candidates there, but we also think that not only the cloud but even kind of the adaptive nature of what we're doing can also help the device. So think about, battery life. Battery life is something
that's a big one.
If you think about people talking about their number one issues, it's battery life, camera being the second, and then there's kind of a host of other things else. So we think there's a lot of opportunity to kind of leverage both the cloud and some machine learning to kind of do some kind of cool things there.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. You guys got anything? Any questions you want to get in with? No, because I think we might have something, if you don't, in place of a question. You have a device special, and
this is a special edition device. It's called Mint Night.
Mint Night.
The colorway. Because what we've done is we've taken the mint caps in the Midnight back housing.
I don't know.
You just make me want thin mints whenever you're discussing this. I just want to eat a sleeve of Girl Scout cookies right now.
Mint Night. So can people order this right now?
They cannot order this.
So
the only
special
way to get it is through some giveaways.
Okay, tell us more. Go on.
Tell us more. All right, so one thing you can do is you can tweet out to us. And you have to mention at Twit.
Yep, so at Twit, at NextBitSys, right? # Mint Night. And
tell us what color you want to see Robin or our future products in.
Yeah, I like it because it really seems like that's one of the big customizations that you guys are really going for here. Obviously, the design is different, but the way that it's set up gives you, some unique ways to colorize it. So do that at Twit, at NextBitSys, SYS, # Mint Night, which is the name of this color. And then you got some color combinations you guys want? Throw that at us. And I think in a week, we're going to pick a winner, and somebody's going to get this.
That's right.
Somebody is going to win this. Two of them?
Two people are going to get
this. Oh, I didn't realize that. I thought it was just
two
one.
Two winners.
And cool. I can tell you from my own experience, somebody actually does win. I put my email in on something. No, this is one of those things that you see these things all the time. You're like, okay, I'll totally do that. And then nothing ended up happening, and you actually have to kind of question whatever happened. I didn't know. Like a few weeks ago, I put my email in on something, and I ended up winning a $1,000 software package out of it. And I was like, wait a minute. So what happens? And it's going to happen for a couple of listeners or viewers of All About Android. At Twit, at NextBitSys, # Mint Night, and your color ideas, and you might win one.
Cool,
that's awesome, man.
Yeah.
Before we go, I'll tell you a quick story that literally happened to me, because one of the reasons why I wanted the phone was to support the industrial design, like a new look or whatever. Literally, I've been stopped on the street just yesterday at 6th and Market in San Francisco, waiting for the Muni to come. I'm on my phone, and the guy next to me is like, "What is that?" And I was like, oh, it's my phone. And so I had to explain it to him and tell him about it and all stuff like that. So literally, I've been stopped on the street maybe four times now since I've had it.
It's pretty crazy, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's pretty crazy.
It's pretty cool.
So I travel with – we have a PR agency called Mighty, and I've traveled with this woman named Stephanie quite a bit. And every time we're sitting down to dinner – like we're sitting down to dinner or breakfast or something, and I pull it out of my pocket, put it on the table, the waiter will come by like, what's that phone? She just rolls her eyes now. She hates it. She's just embarrassed. The whole thing is just super embarrassing. So
that's why you put it on the table.
Well, I don't, you know, I don't want to sit on it. I don't want to break the phone or anything.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
But yes, it doesn't sell itself when it's in your pocket.
It's true. It's really true.
It's been great. I had it in my pocket during my half marathon I ran, so it survived that. I mean, it's been I put it through the paces and it's been doing well. So I'm very happy with my phone.
Awesome.
Survived through four parts of Disney World.
Yes. Whoa. Yeah, four parks in one day. So
wow. If you know Ron, that's he knows how to hit Disney World.
That's not part of our test.
I know.
Just so you know, we're not guaranteeing that. That's not covered under warranty.
I'm going to quote you on the next email, Ron.
Exactly.
Are you doing four amusement parks? No. Sorry.
Just don't let it fall out of your pocket while you're on the roller coaster. I don't think any phone survives that. Scott, always a pleasure getting you on. And
thanks for
stopping by and sharing kind of everything that NextBit is up to. And at Twit, at NextBitSys. Hashtag Mintnight with your color ideas. Someone's going to win a phone.
Cool.
And there we go.
Absolutely.
Stoked to do that.
Great. Thanks for having me, Jason.
Thank you. Always a pleasure getting you on.
Thanks, guys. Looking all around here. Where do I look for this?
I don't even know. Around.
Well, right. You look in the camera.
That works sometimes if you want to stare deep into the viewer's soul.
I wish there was a way we could like spell out Scott with our hands because there's five of us and there's five letters in his name. I'm a C.
I don't know.
You're the O. You're the O. Wait, and I'm T.
You're an O. There's two T's. I don't know how to spell your name.
This is the most awkward goodbye ever.
All right, goodbye.
On that note. Trying to make it interactive.
Let's take a minute to thank a sponsor of today's episode. This episode of All About Energy is brought to you by Gazelle. Gazelle's awesome. We've talked about them all the time on the show. It's a trusted online marketplace for buying and selling your used electronics. So if you want to get the next bit, Robin, you know, you got to get rid of the device that you already have. This is a great way to do it. You can trade in your old device for cash. Buy a certified pre-owned one if you choose, or you can do both. Why not? For trade-ins, simply visit gazelle.com, find your device, and you'll get an instant quote. Shipping is actually free, and the payment is fast. If you're looking to buy a certified pre-owned device, Gazelle has a ton. They have a variety of Samsung Galaxy phones at great prices to choose from. Each of those devices is fully inspected, backed by a 30-day return policy, and sold without the carrier contract. So you just go to gazelle.com, see what your old device is worth, check out the selections of certified pre-owned devices today. Gazelle's actually providing financing on all devices by Affirm. You just simply provide your basic information. You get instantly approved and pay offer in 3, 6, or 12 months. Easy monthly payments that can all be made through bank transfer, check, or debit card. And you just select financing with Affirm at checkout. Now, Gazelle also offers a 12-month warranty for cell phones powered by Assurant Solutions. And the coverage there, of course, water damage, cracked screens, hardware defects, and more. So you're totally covered on all the things. I've at least dropped my phone twice and needed to replace a device. So this would help me out there. Help is available 24/7 to process claims and return your device as soon as possible. Don't miss out on getting the best value on certified pre-owned devices. You just visit gazelle.com and you'll get the benefits of buying pre-owned, and of which there are a lot. Devices are in awesome condition, good and excellent conditions, actually, as they're denoted on the site. Good condition shows some gentle signs of wear and tear, but offers great price, obviously, on still great devices. And all devices have actually been put through a rigorous 30-point inspection process to make sure that they're in perfect working order. Devices available for support by major carriers, AT&T, Verizon, T-Mobile, and Sprint. So you're going to find the device that you want on the carrier that you need. Give new life to used electronics right now. Trade in for cash or buy certified pre-owned. All you got to do is visit gazelle.com today to check out more for yourself. And we thank Gazelle for their support of All About Android. All right, speaking of hardware, it's time for hardware.
So sometimes in this world of pundits that we live in, of great journalists and writers and podcasters and all this stuff like that, every now and then somebody who you really respect writes something that you just don't agree with and it makes you sad.
Oh, I knew this was going to happen. I was wondering when I saw your name on this. Go on.
Yeah, but so last week, if you saw the news or not, the very quietly, the Nexus 9 was removed from the Google Store, thus declaring the end of life for the HTC manufactured tablet device. And our good buddy Ron Amadeo over at Ars Technica wrote a not so nice obituary for it.
Worst Nexus device.
Basically calling it the worst Nexus device ever. And cited all these problems. Now, I would like to point out here that I hold in my hand my trusty Nexus 9 that I've been using since it came out and has been fantastic for me, and I've never had a single complaint. So I'm sad to see it go because I can't replace it, but if this ever dies. But I do not agree with Ron's just destroying of the device that I've loved for more than a year.
Man, the Rons are divided on this.
But do you agree with his sentence, the Nexus 9 was replaced by the better but still not good Pixel C?
I've never used the Pixel C, so I don't know. But
yeah. I feel like you can answer that.
I feel like Ron's bringing a certain level of, I don't know if it's bias or demeanor to this.
he had experiences early on, if I remember correctly.
I reviewed the tablet. I'm sorry. It was not very good. It was kind of buggy.
Felt kind of cheap.
It's a great tablet. It is not. Okay, here are his complaints about it, right?
All right, we go.
He says that the supposedly premium tablet had a squishy back, which, in my defense, I never touched the back because I have a case.
That's a smart move.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So there we go. Okay, so he has squishy back. The backlight leaked, which I never experienced.
I've seen that.
Oh, it did on my review units, too. Okay. Three review units, they all leaked.
Sometimes the buttons didn't work. I've never had that problem.
I don't know about that one.
And the device is generally not worth its $400 price tag. I got it as a gift, so I can't argue that. So it was a Christmas gift for my sister. Give me a break. But it's been great. I love this. Yasmin, what do you think of the Nexus 9?
You know, I got it when I was at I.O. as a gift as well. So no, I didn't actually spend any money on it. So it was a nice gift that I didn't have to drop some cash on. But maybe there was a reason why it was given as a gift at I.O. 15. I don't know. I mean, my daughter loves it because she loves playing with it. But tablets. That's a whole nother thing. I'm not a big tablet person. So,
but that's the great point.
Maybe with
Yasmin.
Android N with a new update, it will be better.
Yeah, that's the point I wanted to make. I wanted to add to it. And Yasmin, thank you for reminding me, is that I don't think it's so much the device's fault that the tablet did not perform well. I think generally you're seeing a lack of performance in the tablet market across the board.
Oh, it's stagnant. It's
totally
everybody's
stagnant.
Got, you know, they hold on to their tablets for a couple generations before they're like, oh, then because you don't really I use my tablet for gaming and watching movies and surfing the web. I don't need something more than that. Right. You know, I've already got too many laptops.
I would say, though, with like the Android N preview, being able to do the split view, it's actually pretty fun on the tablet because I was actually able to write some show notes for the podcast with like a markdown editor. So I think with maybe Android N, they're going to, you know, it's going to be better for tablets, Android tablets in general. But just like you've all mentioned, tablets are... Yeah, they're not doing, it's not a, you don't update it as much as your phone.
I don't want to derail us too much, but Yasmin, did you find the multi-window, the split screen that Android N has, did you find it useful? Because I've been using the multi-window on the Tab S and the Tab S 2, which is the Samsung tablets, and I actually find them to be more finicky than just like having two devices side by side.
There's definitely some improvements and kind of when I'm looking, I'm like, all right, this is the developer preview. It's not the official thing. So you kind of have to keep that in mind. But at least for writing show notes where I have like my Google Docs open on one end and then like my markdown editor on the other one, like that was really cool. The only issue is when you would click a link, it would go full screen. And I'm like, no, I don't. Or actually, no, sorry. It would replace whatever app I was on that screen. And I was like, no, can you just open it like in a new window or something? I want to get back to the two app setup. So there's definitely some issues there, but it's a start. I don't know if it's gonna it won't replace my my laptop, so
yeah.
And sorry, I feel Ron. I mean I obviously I have the Pixel C, which you know, I think is easy to not think of as a tablet because Google kind of came out of the gate with the attached keyboard. So, you know, it kind of seems like it's more emphasized at being a convertible, you know, style format when really you can buy the tablet by itself. And
it's got a ways to go before it's truly a convertible, though. I mean, for
well, no, I know, no doubt. Yeah. But I think to a certain degree, a lot of the criticism on the Pixel C came from the fact that there was that emphasis on the convertible mm-hmm. aspect of it, as opposed to it just being Google's next Nexus-like tablet, which it is if you don't use the keyboard. It's a really nice tablet, and it's a good follow-up.
Now, what's funny is that a couple of weeks ago, a friend of mine asked me for a tablet recommendation. And I said, hey, I love the Nexus 9 and whatnot. And I said, or check, I've heard good things about the NVIDIA Shield tablet. And he got the NVIDIA Shield and loves it. I said, mm-hmm. it's great. And in fact, he's been the first person to tell me about a positive tablet experience than ever. Like, I've never had anybody be like, oh, my God, I got this tablet and it's great. Like, that's nobody says that.
Right.
So I don't know.
Well, because nobody's buying tablets.
Exactly. Yep.
Or they already have one, and that's just good enough because they realize they just watch movies on it.
Well, yeah, whatever. I mean, admittedly, on my Nexus 9, all I do is I watch TV at the gym on it. I read. I use it as a Kindle. I use it to read. I use it to read comics on and play a couple of games every now and then. But I like the ability to be able to pop out and quickly check email or quickly check Instagram or Twitter or whatever to have that functionality. But I don't depend on it. You know.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Well. Okay. So. Where one thing goes away, another thing comes in its place. In this case, not necessarily a tablet, but maybe a couple of phones. Multiple sources, and by the way, hint, this is a rumor story, point to HTC making the next Nexus devices, plural. Evan Blass, a.k.a. Evleaks on Twitter, says the two phones are internally dubbed M1 and S1. And set for release this year, so we could see two HTC Nexus devices released this year. Android Police has its sources pointing to Google's code names for two upcoming devices, Marlin and Sailfish, as they do. They usually, you know, name the code names around kind of like water creatures or whatever. M1 equals Marlin, S1 equals Sailfish. That's, you know, kind of an interesting coincidence. And then the AOSP, the Android Open Source Project, has some mentions of these devices buried deep within. So things are being confirmed, kind of, sort of. Are we excited for two, not one, but two HTC Nexus devices possibly being released this year? What do you think, Yasmin?
You know, it's never too early to start on the Nexus device rumors.
No, definitely
I think
not.
I think people started them even when they first announced the 6P and 5X. They started mm-hmm. already device rumors for the next one. Usually any device that comes out, whoever they partner with, they usually do a good job. So I like HTC phones. So mm-hmm. I'm not either way.
Yeah.
The HTC 10 is really nice too, as we saw last week when we were playing with the phones. So if the Nexus devices look anything like that, that'd be kind of nice to have a little distinction. Because I feel like the Nexus devices have been kind of just like slabs of phone. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like the Nexus 6P, obviously, I love my 6P so very much. But when you think about it, without the case, it's really just like a nice thin phone. You know, it's not really.
You want a next bit Nexus. Don't
no,
you?
I love the 6P so very much. It's just when you compare it to how stylish like the Galaxies look and.
Oh, there's the Samsung. There's the Samsung love
no,
coming out.
No, the other That's OEMs. Listen, the other OEMs, okay? Because I would like, maybe this is just me, but I would like to get to a point where I can see Nexus devices competing directly against Apple's darn iPhones, okay? So,
but that's never going to happen, Flo. And that's not. I don't think that's something that we. I think that ship sailed years ago. The moment Android was, I mean, be together, not the same. The moment Android was put out on all those different manufacturers.
Yeah, I guess Samsung would have to kind of be deflated in some way because they
not even deflated.
Competition.
Yeah, you would need to destroy every other manufacturer of Android phones because the whole reason why the iPhone has because it's one. It's the one phone by the one manufacturer on the one OS.
Are we going to go around destroying OEMs?
No, I'm just kidding. No. I don't know. I like the I like the. I think the choice that Android has, and I think the Nexus experience as like, okay, this is what Google intends for the experience to be, and here are your other choices. You know, me being a long. I mean, the Nexpit is my first phone that's not a Nexus phone.
Yeah.
In the whole line, you know, like I didn't get a 6P, I got the Nexpit instead. But I don't think the 6P is any dramatically different than the HTC. The phone's a phone is a phone, you know.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
Well, you know, who knows? We might hear more about these at I/O. I don't know. Maybe that feels a little too early for.
Well, remember last year we didn't hear about anything until September when they did their event for all the Nexus devices, including the Pixel C. I would appreciate it if Google sticks that schedule just for my own sanity as a person who covers this.
Yeah, right.
Because we got a lot of stuff coming up for Google I/O, and I think we should also see Google I/O as being more like focused on the other parts of Android. And then, like, having a more focused event in September when Android N is official, it's officially named, it's, you know, it's an actual downloadable product.
Well, I think they've pretty much established it already, and now mark my words, and I'm going to say this and then be proven wrong at I/O, but the last couple of I/Os, you know, I/O is focused on developers and on software and on services, and the whole purchasing cycle of this country relies on holiday purchasing with those announcements coming in September. So that makes more sense. That's why it all happens at once, you know? Now that said, I just said it out loud. So maybe now Google will announce their new hardware now and do the exact opposite. But like, I feel like the last three IOs, there's been little to no hardware announced. It's all been on software and services. So.
And if Rick Osterlo has his hands in creating a new breed of Nexus devices, he's going to need time. We wouldn't even see. I mean
he hasn't even like gotten his key card, you know, set up yet. Like
we've got big expectations for Rick. Come on,
exactly. But he's got to get used to the campus, you know, get reacquainted.
Yeah, he's got to remember what it's like. Yeah, he's got to get back up on those Google bikes and learn how to ride again. All right, so Flo, what about On Hub? Kind of Android, kind of.
On Hub is kind of Android.
I mean,
you know,
it's not really, but
it's not really. It's Google, right? It's Alphabet. It will be under Oslo's jurisdiction soon, right? So we got big news that On Hub now supports its own home automation via IFIT, which is what I call it, but it really stands for if this, then that, after the latest software update. So now you can make your own little formulas to have On Hub automated as you like, and gives it a little more functionality than it's currently had. A nice recipe that's good recipe for On Hub right now. An example is if your phone disconnects from the On Hub, then it can lock the front door, which basically helps you remember to lock the house after you leave it, assuming you have your phone with you, which could go wrong if you just happen to go to the backyard to check on the flowers and you have your phone in your pocket. But, you know.
Well, hopefully you've also got On Hub or your smart, you know, lock at the front to recognize your phone or whatever.
But it would be kind of funny if that happened, though.
But it's a nice, I mean, it's starting to maybe a little bit more live up to the expectations that people had when it first released, which was that it was more than just a router. Maybe it's, you know, a way to kind of control your smart home, and the kind of added functionality with if this, then that. Allows you to do a lot more with just a router. I mean, you normally can't do this type of stuff with just a router. So
I don't have any smart home products in my house except for like one light bulb on my desk. And it's just so that when I have dance music on while I'm working, I can like have it change light colors. That's about it.
So you can do an integration when you're playing that song, it starts automatically playing the colors, and that'd actually be really good.
That's what it, the little thingy does. I forget which one I have. I don't know. Yeah, but I don't have any smart locks or anything like that. My router is just this like cheapo, like $100 router I bought at Fry's. And so I have to be quite honest, I haven't been completely on the On Hub scene because I'm not even sold on like why I should have an Alexa. You know what I mean?
So I have the On Hub, and when I first found out that it was going to have this and that, I was pretty excited because I was like, oh, what can I do with it? And right now it totally is kind of the okay, this is kind of fun, but not really useful. But I do have one useful integration is that if I have the word record in one of my calendar events, it actually makes my MacBook Pro the priority device. So because before I would record a podcast, I'd have to go into the OnHob app and say, hey, set my MacBook Pro as priority device. Hmm. But now it will automatically do that based on the calendar event. So that's actually pretty cool.
Oh, nice.
That's very cool. That's really cool.
Do you see yourself, like, do you think you're maybe over the next couple of weekends, you're just going to be like playing around with some of the recipes and see, you know, maybe what other functionalities you get from your OnHub?
Yeah, I was trying to think of a solution, and maybe the listeners over there can reach out to me on Twitter and find out. But I was like, okay, how can I have it when my husband's phone connects to the Wi-Fi? I have to find a way to be able to like Rickroll him. So listeners, if you can find that integration, I tried to set it up, but it only currently works for your phone. So what would happen if my husband did connect to the Wi-Fi, I would be Rickrolling myself. So I
didn't don't do that. Don't do that.
Backfire.
Yeah.
And that's the only real challenge with this. Like, I love the idea of IFTTT, you know, being able to, you know, write your own recipes and do all that sort of stuff. But how many have I written? Zero. How many do I use? Zero. Just because finding the time to sit down and figure out that jigsaw puzzle is just like, it's one of those things where if it just doesn't work out of the box or have an easy way to do it, it just becomes a challenge. But I don't have an OnHub, but doing that sort of stuff and home automation fascinates me. But like Flo, I don't have any devices that are, that are home automated. I want to do it, but then I question if I get it, if I actually have the time to set it up to do something as elaborate as Rickrolling your significant other, which is genius.
We should start you with a smart bulb, see how you feel about
what would be great is that if your husband's phone connects, then you turn on the Chromecast and play the video off of YouTube on the TV.
Well, there is
with the stereo cranked up to 11.
Yeah, there we go. I like it.
Because when you walk in, we do have like the Chromecast, and we also have the Nexus player. And I was like, oh, is there a Nexus player like play integration? But there isn't. So unless I missed it. I just, listeners, I count on you to go research that. If my husband's listening, he's probably like, oh no.
or you could just, you know, when he's sleeping, take his phone and set up the integration without him knowing.
We're gonna let you down.
Okay.
That's a song to sing your husband.
That's the low rent. No! Go away! Go away, Rick. Don't you Rickroll us, Brian. Rickrolled a lot of people right then.
All right, let's fight Rickroll with an email.
All right, let's do it.
From a listener. Jeremy writes in, and he's got a question about notifications. Jeremy says, I currently have a Note 4. Love the Android platform, but the one thing that drives me crazy is not having enough control over notifications. Some apps give you control to designate how often and what content they send as push notifications, but some apps, namely Facebook, seem to have that control, but not so much. I've tried to set what notifications I get, and I still get like 20 notifications per hour. I want to be able to condense my less necessary notifications into sort of a digest. Maybe every few hours I get a pop-up that contains all these needed notifications. Maybe just once a day summary, but the important notifications could be still left to pop up as they come. I hate to pinpoint Facebook as one of the main culprits, but I've even tried marking all the important friends as read first. Still, I seem to get notifications on everyone, and a lot of them are not important ones. So Jeremy, I'm right there with you. I actually use the Android system settings to go into notifications and just say no notifications at all from Facebook. I do that for many applications, in fact, because I do not like notifications. I only want very important ones. But a great option, if you haven't checked it out, you want to check out Snowball, which is a great app that allows you to have smart notifications and allows you to control and also look really nice your notifications and give you priority as well as what you're looking for, what they call a unified inbox, where you can dump all your Facebook, WhatsApp, SMS, email, all the stuff into one notification pane, kind of like that digest that you're looking for. So Snowball might be the answer you're looking for if you don't want to turn them completely off.
Okay. Yeah, it might be. It definitely changes the look of your notification tray. So it's not working with the existing notification tray because as far as I know in Android, you are not allowed to mess with that. So it's creating kind of an overlay on top of it, a new layer of notifications that kind of that it jumps to when you do the swipe down versus the, you know, the built-in system one. So you got to kind of be okay with the fact that it's kind of painting your notifications in a different light, but it does a lot of that sorting and functionality that you're looking for. So check out that. Ron, I don't know if you know this, but you were Ron-rolled through your entire email.
Fantastic. As you're taking advantage of the fact that I'm reading, I'm diligently reading the email from the document. I can't look to see what's going on the screen.
It's true.
Way to go, Brian. Good job.
Brian knows what he's doing over there. He's a smart guy. All right, let's take a minute and thank the sponsor of today's episode, CuriosityStream, which is the world's first ad-free non-fiction streaming service, founded by John Hendricks, the founder of Discovery Communications. There's over 1,400 titles and 600 hours of content. I love this kind of stuff, right? Like, I'm a big fan of kind of documentary style film, all that kind of stuff. And you've got tons of it here, available in 196 countries worldwide. Many platforms. You got the web app, Roku, Android, iOS, Chromecast, Amazon Fire, Amazon Kindle, Apple TV. Just a ton of science and technology content, things like nature, history, many more topics, all kind of broken out so it's easy to find. Over 50 hours of 4K content, which they actually just launched, one of the largest 4K libraries on the internet at the moment. In addition to documentaries, they also have interviews and lectures. So you can find things like Stephen Hawking's Universe, which is a series where Stephen Hawking traces the history of astronomical theories and technology. There's Next World featuring Michio Kaku talking about the future of technology, things like virtual reality, artificial intelligence, other big technological questions. There's The Human Face of Big Data, which is currently exclusive on exclusive to CuriosityStream. The Road to Singularity, which is Jason Silva and other experts, and they're kind of exploring the inevitable arrival of superhuman intelligence in this in the documentary, and it's just kind of exclusive to CuriosityStream, so you only find it there. Monthly and annual plans available. Plans start at just $2.99 per month, less than a cup of coffee. Or the cost of one title. You know, if you walk into a video store and rent a video, which nobody does anymore, although I was in one yesterday and I was like, whoa, these still exist, you're going to pay that just to rent a single video. Here with CuriosityStream, you're going to get a whole month's worth of their videos. Check out CuriosityStream.com/twit and use promo code TWIT during sign up. You'll get unlimited access to the world's top documentaries and nonfiction series completely free for the first 60 days. That's two entire months free of charge with, by the way, one of the largest 4K libraries around. So if you've got a 4K TV and you're looking for content to load up there, here's your jam. Just go to CuriosityStream.com/twit and use the offer code TWIT to sign up. All right, and we thank CuriosityStream for their support. Now, let's take a look at a few apps. Why don't we? In apps. All right. So, Maps Explorers were actually emailed by Google last week to test out its new travel app called Google Trips. And I have it right here. Here it is. Google has apparently been working on a travel kind of app service for quite a while now. They wanted to create something that looked different, that offered new functionality to users that people weren't used to getting. And basically what you get here is a little bit of that kind of like the Google Now smarts, right? Like it navigates through kind of your inbox as well as your calendar to pull out information on both past trips as well as upcoming trips. Apparently I took a trip to Oakland.
I was about to ask, I'm like, is it suggesting you go to Oakland? Because that's a bad suggestion.
It thinks, you know, hey, It knows that I spend a lot of time in Petaluma, so anything outside of Petaluma is a trip for me these days. I don't know what I'm going to get here. Oh, I see. I went to Denver via the Oakland airport. So, this is a work in progress, by the way. This is not released.
No kidding.
This is not released. Only certain people have access to the data.
Trip does this too, though. Yeah. Trip gets stuff wrong like this too. So,
but this is interesting because this almost like it reminds me of the Google. Every time I come back from a trip and Google Photos, like, here's your trip. Like, it pulls together my photos from the trip. It's almost like the flip side of it. We know you're going to the city. Here are some suggestions. I kind of like it. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, and obviously it records past trips. It also plans upcoming travel. So if it notices, you know, reservations in your inbox, it'll give you that, you know, kind of like an entry on this main screen. And then you can get in there and you can start planning things for while you're there, things to do, food, drink, save places so that you have one single point to go to look into it. And like you said, Flo, very similar. Some of this stuff is very similar to what you find in TripIt.
But I want to see if it can help me plan my honeymoon, because I'm like, apparently it's supposed to be able to help you do that. So
new trip for my location. Oh, permission denied. Probably denied because I don't actually have access on their service, I'm guessing.
I think I'm probably, over the next coming weeks as they add more to it, I'm probably going to try and use it just to like cross-reference it with how I'm planning my trip. Because, you guys, it is such a pain in the derriere to try and get some help planning a trip.
Yeah.
Like, not, I don't, you know, mean to sound like, oh, it's so hard, but I actually need some help planning a trip because I don't have time right now because I'm also planning a wedding and I could really have used the help of a travel agent, but I don't even know where to go. It's just, you know.
Yeah.
It'd be nice to have some help from an app, to be quite honest.
Would you use
Jason, is it an actual app that you have to download?
What's that?
It's an actual app.
Yeah. That's, yeah. This is, yes, exactly.
So
this is
like, it goes beyond what like Google Now does.
Yeah.
It's separate from Google Now. Although I think there's probably some crossover on the information you get here versus now. You know, it's looking at all the
reviews
same stuff.
And it's looking at all the stuff in your Gmail. I'm actually part of like that, the locals program that I don't contribute as much as I should. And so I'm curious to see like how, I don't know. I'm curious to see what it's going to turn into if they can get more of a community oriented thing going around.
So locals, local guides, as they are called, are actually very active in this. So basically Google is reaching out to certain levels of local guides, the people who are really active, to help beta test this and to fill it out more with content and everything. So, so apparently if you didn't get an invite, you're just not active enough, Flo.
I'm really not. I'm the worst.
Anyways, it looks okay. It looks like a good starting point. I'm curious to see if it really would make things easier or harder. Sometimes these tools seem like a great idea, and then you realize planning my trip based on this is actually not as easy as it may seem. So there we go. Hey, Flo, I knew you'd
get... Can we talk about Pokemon now?
Yeah, I knew you'd get excited about this. Okay, talk about
Pokemon. So I'm not talking. For the next 8 minutes, we're going to watch.
No, we aren't.
Just kidding. I'm just kidding. So this news actually came out last week, but Jason so kindly put it in the doc this week because he knows how excited I am about Pokemon. And today I really had Pokemon on the mind because the servers went down on Pokemon, the card game, online last night.
Oh, my goodness.
But last week, 8 minutes of beta preview Pokemon Go gameplay was released, and it is glorious. We don't really know much about like the feature set that's coming a part of it. I mean, we see based on what the video has, but we do know, this has been confirmed by several blogs, that the starting Pokemon will be the original 150.
Okay. Again, this is language I don't understand.
Pokemon fan out there, that means you're not going to have to worry about any of the expansions or X and Y or any of that. You've got your OG starters.
Okay. Bulbasaur. So watching this video, like I was kind of confused. A lot of it is, you know, because this is meant to be embedded. I think if you go in the first third of the video, I'd say you'll find kind of the overlay of the camera with the Pokemon appearing over the top.
Oh, so then you like point your camera at it and it like says, oh, is there a Pokemon in this box stack?
Maybe it's, I swear I saw it. Maybe it's not part of this video.
This might be a different video because the one I was looking at in the dock here has been pulled down.
Oh, so they did pull it down. Okay, then it probably was very different. What I saw was, it was like an overlay with the camera, right? And so basically you'd be walking along. It just seemed kind of silly to me. You'd be walking along with your phone, of course, because it's by the Ingress guys. And then suddenly, you know, you'd like get in a battle or whatever. So then it would show the camera and it would show a little Pokemon sit there, you know, suddenly appear in front of you. And then you'd like tap it a couple of times to throw a thing at it. And then, you win. And that was it. Is that really how Pokemon is played?
No, man. You got to fight it first. You have to break it down before you can get into the Pokeball. So I'm assuming it would start out like the regular Pokemon game where you pick one of the three, fire, plant.
That could be.
Or... and water. I'm like trying to think of all the elements so I don't get it wrong. And then you would fight it and you would break it down.
Okay. I don't know.
A couple scratches.
I have a feeling there's a delta here that I'm between there's Pokemon and then there's me, and I don't know if
well,
I'm ever going to be any closer than this.
You throw the Pokeball at it. I'm assuming it's going to be like Ingress, where like as you're walking or whatever, like every day you're collecting items along the way.
Yeah. Okay. You know? Oh, so is this it?
OMG.
That's okay. Cool.
All right. So there That's it is. Throwed. One time. It? Hit one time. Done.
Oh, come here. It's going to escape. It's going to escape.
And,
oh, you captured
and
it.
Gotcha. Was caught.
That's
experience points. Next. That was it. I don't know if it
it's
seems
possible
that could.
You're not going to have to do the fighting, because I'm assuming if you're supposed to be playing this game while you're walking to work or to your appointment,
it's
going to
be a problem.
Like, stop what you're doing on the way to the doctor's office. You need to fight to get this Pokemon.
Okay, so camera. So it's a. Oh, well, maybe not. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I hope you guys have fun with this.
Make it more immersive, though, if it were like, oh no, I can decide whether I should go make it on time to the doctor's office or I should capture this Vulpix.
Like, and just kind of.
I think it looks fun. It looks fun, but you know, if I'm on my way to like a meeting at work and then a Pokemon, like I have to capture a Pokemon, it's going to be a hard decision. Like, am I late for my meeting or do I capture?
Like, I'm curious how this is going to work. Like, what if I'm listening to Spotify, you know, and I'm like, my phone starts being really slow. This is what I'm worried about. My phone is going to be too slow to handle this, because I already have problems on the 6P where it gets a little buggy when I'm doing stuff.
I just need to bring this to cardboard and then we're all set.
Maybe. It just looks boring. I'm sorry, it looks boring.
But anyway.
I would like to take this moment to acknowledge the fact that I'm being silent on this issue. Because I am currently in, I gave the link to Brian. I'm currently in hour 36 of being addicted to Disney's Magic Kingdoms game. And so.
Why didn't you bring it to the arena?
Because I know better. But let's just say that Flo, given your predilection for Pokemon and enjoying it, I can't give you any crap about this, because
it's a childhood thing I can't get over. It's just it's just fun, mindless fun, and you know, the show is a good show for kids. It's, you know,
and meanwhile, this game is tapping into my childhood as well.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
It's one of those games where you have to like. Every couple hours, you got to tap a bunch of things, and then you put it away. And then a couple hours, they tell you it's done. You got to tap some more.
It's like working.
It's a grinder. It's a grinder game.
It's a grinder, but I'm having a great time. It's fantastic. You get to build your own amusement park. It's great. So,
interesting.
Restore all the happiness and joy.
Why wouldn't I want to restore all the happiness and joy?
Exactly.
So, I respect the Pokemon. I apologize for giving me crap about it. So there you go.
That's where the apology is coming from. Yay.
Yeah. All right.
Speaking of apologies, Twitter made an apology to the folks at Phoenix. Last week, we told you how the third-party Twitter app Phoenix had gotten removed by the developer from the Play Store because they hit their Twitter token limit of 100,000 tokens. A little while later, the developers told the folks over at Droid Life that, quote, I've been in contact with the Twitter team, and they've helped to fix the issue. What that fix is, we don't know. Whether this is maybe Jack Dorsey listens to the show and he said, hey, those Android people are right. We should lift that token limit. Who knows? But maybe this is a sign of things to come for third-party developers being able to get kind of more lean restrictions on the number of tokens they get. So this is good news to see. So good job, Twitter.
Yeah, I like seeing that. I don't know. It could be a little too late. But hey, any bit helps. And I don't know. I wonder if that means that Phoenix now has another 100,000 tokens. How easy it is for other Twitter developers. I imagine if you're developing a Twitter app that is able to get to 100,000, then you've kind of proven that you've done it well enough, you know, to garner that many downloads. So I would hope that that means that other developers that run into the same issue might actually, you know, be able to turn it around as well. All right, so Bill King wrote in to the email, aaa@twit.tv, and says, I listened to a recent episode where Clean Master got heavily trashed by everyone. I'm using it based on the fact that it won the arena some time ago. Yes, it did. We brought it into the arena, and then it transformed and morphed over time into other things. I'd be happy to use something else that performs similar maintenance functions. I could certainly do without the other crapware that keeps popping up when I run CleanMaster. That's a big reason why CleanMaster is kind of raked under the coals by and large, is because it started to get really bloaty and they started adding in all these just feature creep and all of these other things that just didn't need to be there. Just a couple of the reasons why people are always down on it. So I kind of went looking and I was reminded of an app that I also used to use. I haven't used it in a really long time, but it does the thing that I think I liked CleanMaster for when I presented that in the arena a couple of years ago, which is kind of cleaning some of the leftover storagey stuff on your device, you know, for little files, orphaned files, that sort of stuff, to kind of free up disk space or, storage on your device. And so this app called SD Made does that, and that's kind of all it does specifically. And it's actually a pretty good way to do that. It doesn't look like I have a whole lot to clean up, but it will find kind of files that were left from old uninstalled apps, if they left anything behind. It'll find things that you don't need anymore, like DAT files or whatever, and it'll show you kind of where those come from. So if you're looking for an alternative, that's something to consider, SD Made. And I think they have a paid version as well as a free version. In fact, the upgrade to the paid version is $2.28. Nice round number. And there you go. So check it out. Maybe that'll help you. And what do you think we get into the arena? Let's do it. Yeah, I threw you.
So many enter.
He wasn't ready for that. It was an awkward throw. I'll get back. Arena. I'm realizing I need coffee right now.
You and me both, buddy.
I'm really sorry. The last 3 minutes, I've noticed myself go from...
Samesies.
Hitting that wall. Oh, the lights are too. Wow.
Don't do that. I'll totally fall asleep. I will.
Is there an IFTT recipe to your level of awakeness to the studio lights?
Just leave them on Fulbright. That's what I need. That's what I need more than anything. Last week's episode, bit.ly/AAAShow263. Check in on the poll from then. And if I'm not mistaken, okay, Should I Answer is the winner. Who had Should I Answer? Who was that?
Should I Answer?
Yay, that was that? Me.
Who was that? Good job.
Good job, Flo.
It's a good app. 52%. Well deserved.
That's a pretty sweeping victory right there.
I'm more concerned about how many votes Face Jacker got, because that's just disturbing.
28%. That's right. Second place.
Disappointing people.
Even an app that has a horrible name like that got second place.
Disappointing.
Excellent. Well, congratulations, Flo. That means that you don't have to go yet. You can wait. Jeez. You can wait until the very end.
I didn't realize this is Legends of the Hidden Temple.
Do I kick things off? I guess so.
I think you do, Ron. All right. You kick things off.
Mine's going to be real simple. And Jason, I don't know if you installed it on your phone, but we could even just show the screenshots in the Google Play Store if that's easier.
I should have it.
Well, yeah, but it's almost easier to use the Google Play screenshots. But it is called App Volume Control or App Volume Control Pro. There are two versions. There's a free version and there's a pro version. The pro version is 99 cents and the pro version just takes away the ads. That's all it is. But in a nutshell, this is volume control on the app level. I'm going to let that sink in for a moment. You know, we talked earlier in the show about notification control on the app level. Mm-hmm. This is volume control at the app level. This is amazing. All right, so what happens is that you're able to specify. So let's choose Fallout Shelter. There you go, because that's probably what sounds. So we're going to choose that. So now what you can do, it's got a very nice material design here. What you can do is you got two tabs. You can choose when the app starts and when the app is closing. So when it starts, if it's on speaker, you can set the volume level for the media, your ringtone, your alarms, notifications, and the system sounds. So when you launch the app, it will reset your phone's volume settings to these settings. You can also specify whether when it's on the headset or on Bluetooth. So a lot of times you might not have your phone connected to your headset, and you don't want that loud game to blast because you're at work and you want it, you know, if it's on speaker, you want it to be quiet. You can use this to make sure that it never blasts, that you make sure that when it's on speaker, the volume goes lower, but when it's on headset, it goes back higher. And then what's even more genius is the when closing tab, because then what you're able to do is you're able to say, okay, when I'm done with this app, go back to these settings, go back to my kind of my system level settings or my default settings. If take a moment to step back and think about it, this is like crazy amount of control over every sound your device makes on the specific application level, which is it's just legendary. It's amazing. When I found this, I was like, how do we not have this on the OS level? It's that more granular control over how your device works. So if you're a fan of Tasker or, you know, those kind of really kind of, you know, granular level control apps, this is a great one. It literally, you can set the settings for everything. It's amazing. Mm. So it's pretty simple.
Excellent.
App volume control.
App volume control. I like that a lot. Yeah. So there is a free version and there's also a pro 99-cent version.
Yep.
That you can upgrade.
And what's great is that the way the developer did it was it's pretty smart, because what you can do is, as you saw earlier, you can inherit the default volumes or say, you know, restore the old ones. Like, it makes it easy to go through and set them up pretty quickly, save them, replicate them, that sort of thing. So, yeah, it's very cool.
Nice. Excellent.
App volume control.
App volume control. Okay, so I am, I guess I'm second place, so I'll go next. Mine is calls back. It's a game that calls back to my childhood. Sorry, Brian. Sorry, I had to.
You see, if you had app volume control, that wouldn't have
happened. You're right. I should have set up volume for my app, which is a game called Pang Adventures. So, this is a game that was in the arcades when I was younger. Anyways, not sick. This particular version. This is an updated version of it. You can unlock kind of the arcade version. I'm going to go into the tour mode, and I don't know. It just brings me back to being a kid and going to the arcade and playing this game. And it's just a lot of fun. They've done a really good job on conversion. And you know, often with like arcade style games that get converted to the touchscreen kind of format, I feel like it's, you know, it doesn't always go very well. So basically, you're this guy. And you've got different guns that you can pick up, and you're trying to get rid of all the bubbles before they get rid of you, essentially. And, you know, so you've got different power-ups, different weapons. Some of them shoot up like that. Some of them, like, attach to the ceiling, and you can, you know, throw a couple of them. I'm really trying hard to not die. And yay, all clear. It's just good kind of arcade-style fun. And when I saw that this was even available on Android, I about freaked, because this is always one of my absolute favorite.
It's like your games. Pokemon.
Am I?
It's like your Pokemon.
Oh.
Like your version of Pokemon.
Oh, I was like, wait a minute. Is this like a Pokemon character? I had no idea.
No, I'm just trying to relate to you.
Oh, but I hope that you understand me more with my selection of this game, Flo. It's a lot of fun. And I don't know. There isn't a whole lot to say more other than this is a piece of my childhood, and here it is. It's called Pang Adventures. It is $3.99. It's by .emu or Emu. Really great developers, by the way, that go kind of back in the catalog and pull out either characters or series from old school video games and update them for the mobile platform. I really like a lot of what they put out, and I'm just very happy that they put this out. Pang Adventures, $3.99. Del Poco in chat offers up the title, I'm Trying to Relate to You, for today's show. There's probably some, I think I might have to go with that. Let's see here. So, exit out of that. Yasmin, I have your app installed in two places, not just one. So go ahead and tell us all about it, and I'll show it off for you.
Yeah, so FitCat is a pedometer cat, and so it is an Android Wear watch face, but it also has a companion app, which I can see. Oh, look at all those fun activities. And you've had zero steps today. Okay. Well, if you are actually moving around and you integrate it into Google Fit, it will track your steps. And then based on how many steps you've taken throughout the day, it will change activities. So it's kind of like taking care of your cat. It's a way to encourage you to get moving, but you're thinking like, oh, I really got to take care of my cat because right now he's just sleeping. If you were Jason's Fit Cat right now, throughout the day it'll show you kind of like working on the computer, or it'll do like some skateboarding. I think there's even one where it's like showing toilet paper. So there's all these fun different activities that the cat is doing based on how you're moving. So the cool part about this is that the developer Chuki Chan partnered up with Virginia Poltrek, which she does some of the most beautiful illustrations for Android and has some other watch faces. So all the little cat and the animations are just super, super cute. So it's just kind of like a fun way to get active. So you can have it on your watch so you can check your step count and you know see it animate, which the fun part about this is my daughter loves seeing it. It's like, what is the cat doing now, mama? You know, so it's pretty fun. So the companion app has the Fit Cat, as you can see, like on the companion app, where it just shows you the activities as if you didn't have an Android Wear watch. But the other cool part about it is that you can set the background as a live wallpaper. So if you were to click that, that's what it would look like as a live wallpaper on your screen. So you could always see it. So even if you didn't want it on your watch, but you still wanted to stay active, it connects with Google Fit, so it should be able to see all that information. And then to get you even more competitive, if you open up that Fit Cat app again,
it has
a leaderboard. So if you click on the gaming console, yeah, so it has a leaderboard, and if you sign in, it'll kind of tell you, you know, all like how many steps has everyone had. And then if you exit out of there, there's even like achievements, and it shows you all the different ones you can unlock. So
sitting cat.
So these are all the fun Fit Cat options that you can have, and then you can unlock them depending on your experience and how long you've been walking. So so it's pretty fun. So it's kind of a way to get you moving.
I want Surf Cat because it's the furthest down. I want the one that's totally unachievable to me.
Or just open it up for Google I.O. because you're going to be walking from tent to tent in that parking lot. I think you'll get
that's
it.
That's a good idea.
I hope so, anyway.
There's rumors. I can neither confirm nor deny that there may be a Google I.O. like Fit Cat one. So there we go.
One of those secret ones, probably.
Yeah, probably.
I'm guessing. Yeah. They aren't going to tell me. Awesome. I love it. I did actually just assign this right before sitting down, so it's true. There are no steps registered because I haven't stepped much since wearing this. But I promise to, and I want to see a cat that is, that cat's doing something different.
It's kind of awake now. If you go to my screen, although it's upside down on my view. It's upside down, I know. But
are you wearing the Zen watch too? I think we're wearing the same watch.
Okay, it's actually mine's the version one. So yours is a lot smaller than mine. But yes, I'm a Zen watch user here. There we go. That's not upside down now. Here, wake them up. Let the light kind of,
There we go. Playing with yarn.
So yeah, it even has it shows the cat even if it's not your watch face is inactive. So it's super fun, and I actually don't have a lot of steps either because I've been sitting down all day. But it's just kind of a fun way to get active.
Nice, I love it. Fit Cat watch face. Flo, you had an interview with the developer, right?
I had an interview with the artist.
Oh, the artist. Sorry, the artist.
Influencers with Virginia Poltrek, who I got to chat with last week. She's great. She's awesome. Yeah. And actually, Fit Cat is the reason I found her.
Oh, how
I saw
funny.
It in Google Play Store, and I was like, I need to know who did this. And I found out she did a bunch of other stuff, too. So.
That's awesome.
Yeah. She's
real cool. I also have Fit Cat installed, but I haven't been using it because I've been switching between a smartwatch and a fitness band, which has been kind of...
Okay.
Not
yeah, I did spot
usage.
Your Asus Zen watch last episode, and you were had one.
I'm wearing it right now.
And
I'm wearing
the elephant illustration on there. Yep.
Yeah,
and
I
was like, me and Flo are like twins because I totally had that elephant watch.
I just love her. I mean, if we're gonna gush about her for a second, I just love Virginia's art. I just really like it because it's different than the other stuff that's in the Google Play Store.
We're gonna make.
There's
her
not a lot of like girly stuff, you know. It's like
the watch faces
find.
Are awesome. Yeah. I agree. Yeah. Like the illustrations are really great, and even just as girlies, quote unquote girly watch faces, they're really nice. But she has some other cool stuff that I think anyone would like.
Yeah, the owl one is a nice like. We're just sitting here talking about.
I know we're all like talking about watch faces now. Sorry, yeah, here's this never ending.
Love it, love it.
Yay, Fit creative Cat. Women.
Woo, FitCat, watch face. So it's 99 cents if you want to download and install that and get your cat fit. I wonder if over time, like, the cat, like, trims down a little bit.
I should pitch that.
I mean, it's a fit cat, right?
Yeah.
Sure, right? You would think that over time, the cat would get, like, buff or something. I don't know. All right, Flo, you are up, and I'm a big fan of this game, so I'm going to go ahead and play it while you talk about it.
Yeah, please do. So it's called Fast Like a Fox. It is a runner, an endless runner of sorts with different levels. You can pay to unlock so you don't have to deal with the ads. But the reason I like this game is because I have absolute trouble with on-screen controls. And this guy lets you control it by tapping on the back of your phone. So it's motion controlled. The taps that you do, it's kind of like if you were playing with your fingers as like legs, if that makes sense. You can tap on the back to make him run faster, or you can just sort of like tap in a slower motion to just let him walk. And then to jump, you still have to tap on the screen, but it's so much easier than having to do all of that on the screen at once. Works a lot better for my,
yeah,
my brain.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's just an endless runner with really simple controls, and I just really like the use of the motion sensor to control the fox. It might take you a little bit of getting used to it first to kind of understand like the mechanics of the game, but once I figured it out, I was hooked. I was absolutely hooked. And the music is fun too.
Yeah, I like the music on this game a lot.
Yeah, and I believe it's 99 cents.
Yeah, I'm busy. I can't look it up.
I know. It's 99 cents to remove the quote-unquote commercial breaks, and you can also, there's a couple of other in-app purchases for, like, secret characters and unlocking some levels. So, that's like a fox.
Oh, look at that little foxy.
Yep.
This game was on, like, isn't this, like, one of the best games of the year or something like that?
Oh, yes, and I'm sorry. This game is actually, this one of the reasons I chose it. Come on, Flo. Sorry, guys. I was trying to barrel through it, but one of the reasons I chose it is because it's a nominee for the Google Play Awards this year, the first annual Google Play Awards. It is nominated for Standout Indie Game and Most Innovative.
Way to take a risk.
Taking a risk.
Oh.
Let me take one of the things that have been nominated for one of the best games ever.
But it's about shedding light on something we haven't had in the arena yet.
True, I know. I liked it because of the tapping on the back. I just find that nice and ingenious.
Oh, man. I just totally.
It's a very cool game. It is very good. It's very good.
And look, guys, it's material design. Kind of. Right? Don't those rocks look like the different wallpapers that...
Yeah, it definitely has touches. For
Where's the floating action button?
Yeah, really. It's an on-screen
The fab.
Control.
Where's the fab? Fab?
Where's the fab? One Where's star the fab? Fab?
There we go. Fast like a fox. All right, so those are your apps that you will vote on today. You will, because I'm telling you, you better. If you choose to accept this mission, you will vote on your favorite app. Is it App Volume Control, Pang Adventures, FitCat Watch Face, or Fast Like a Fox? bit.ly/AAAshow264 is the place to go. Place your vote. Let us know what you think. And we will be check in on this next week. And FitCat with an early lead.
Woo! What is it, like 4 votes, 3 votes?
At this point, probably something like that, yeah. So you got 2 votes. Fast Like a Fox and App Volume Control got 1 vote each. Pang Adventures, my childhood obsession with nothing. I kind of figured that might be the way it goes, but that's okay because I'm going to be playing that game and you're just going to have to deal with it. That is it for this week. Yasmin, just awesome getting you on the show. I'm really happy that we were able to finally get you on.
Yeah, thanks everyone for having me. I look forward to seeing you at I.O. if you'll be there.
Absolutely. I know I'll be there. With sunblock.
Sunblock all over my face. We'll have a sunblock station with hats and stuff.
And padded shoes.
You guys should bring I'm going to bring a mechanical fan with like battery operated.
Oh, that's a good idea.
If you hear that whizzing in the back during the keynote, it's me. I'm like, oh, it's too hot. Live vlog.
Like, what is that noise? Is it new drones that are being announced? Oh, no, it's just Flo.
Just Flo having a... Hot spell in the back.
No, we'll be fanning ourselves with our new tablet.
Exactly. You know, I got a bigger bag this year because last year I was running out of space. So Google, I'm ready, whatever you want to throw at me. Self-driving car, I can take that home. Uh-huh. I don't care about my flight, you know?
You might end up with another on hub.
Just drive it home.
Oh, gosh.
I don't know if that's a good or bad thing, but
yeah.
So, Yasmin, tell us where people can find material and follow you online.
Yeah, you can find material at relay.fm/material, and you can find me on Twitter at Yasmin Evian, and you see it spelled right there. I'm not even going to have you guess that. So, yeah, send me some messages on Twitter and let me know how I can Rickroll my husband.
Excellent. I hope that people throw you plenty of ideas. For the audio listeners that aren't watching, it's at Yasmin, Yasmine, Evian, Evjen, which I said Evian, and I'm sorry. Okay.
It's okay.
I'm sure it's probably.
Can you please send us a video when you get all that like figured out so we could show it on the show of like your husband being Rickrolled?
I would love, yes.
I really want to experience it.
I want to see that. Flo, what about you? What you working on?
Well, you guys know I finally turned in my iPhone 6S versus Galaxy S7 Showdown, so that should be going up this week, hopefully. But other than that, I'll be gone for a while celebrating my birthday. But you can still find me at Twitter at OThatFlow and on PCWorld.com, Greenbot.com, on Twitch and on Snapchat.
Yeah, do it. Thank you, Flo. Ron, what about you?
Yes, you can go to about.me/RonXO where you can find, you can take that away, Brian. You can stop doing that. Listen.
Brian's never going to give it up.
Never going to let you down, Ron.
Go
all Brian's doing is that he's writing a check that he's going to cash for weeks to come when I'm back in there.
See, this is what I can get away with when you're not in studio.
I know, yeah. Mm-hmm.
All anyway, the giggles.
Go to about.me/RonXO. You can find links to all my social media stuff. You can follow my adventures. I will be celebrating my birthday in the great city of New York City. So you can go to Instagram, see all the photos from that. Go to ifanboy.com where you can listen to my weekly podcast about comic books. And if you want to tune in next week, we'll have our review up of Captain America Civil War, which is opening this weekend.
Woo! Excellent. Thank you, Ron. Brian? Other than Rickrolling, what is your specialty?
Well, I also work on a show called Know How, where we show people how to Rickroll. No.
Man, that guy rules.
Oh, man. Thursdays with Padre. I think upcoming project is going to be Raspberry Pi Alexa. So I had to wait for the parts to get in to do that. But I think next week that should be done.
Oh, that's cool.
But yeah, we're doing like fun little projects. I should probably do If This Then That, considering nobody else really uses it right now. So I should figure some cool stuff out for that. But yeah, check that out. Otherwise, I do screensavers, which you occasionally have been on. Before.
Occasionally,
I think this guy has. Mm-hmm, this girl has.
Mm-hmm.
As we're all looking.
I know.
We're all looking at our phones because we're like, oh, they're not talking about us. And then it's true Rickroll.
We're only a half an hour late.
Watch Brian. Like we need to. Like I don't see him ever hitting any buttons, but somehow he just does all this magic.
Pretty much. That's Brian in a nutshell.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Just doing magic, hitting buttons. That's about it. thank you, Brian. You can find me at about.me/Jason Howell. Follow my music at yellowgoldmusic.com. Real quick reminder, if you want to win a Next Bit Robin, a special color Next Bit Robin, you got to tweet at twit, at NextBitSis, hashtag MintNight, which is the name of the color that we showed off, and then give some color ideas. Do that. We'll let you know next week who wins a Next Bit Robin, and we're super excited to reveal that once we know. But that is it for this week. Voicemails can be left at 347-SHOW-AAA. You can always send us an email to be part of the show. That's AAA@twit.tv. We have a Twitter account. We are at Android Show. We have a subreddit at twitaaa.reddit.com that, you know, helps to kind of fill out the story lineup when we've missed a story, all that kind of stuff. Show notes and past episodes, pretty much everything that we run the show off of completely, that doc gets copied into a sheet. Go to twit.tv/AAA and you get all the things that we talked about, that sheet. And you can catch us live every Tuesday, 5 p.m. Pacific at twit.tv/live. That's it for this week. We'll see you next week on another episode of All About Android. Bye, everyone.